Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Praise the Lord. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us all things in Christ Jesus. Right now, as we gather together, we lay down all our burdens, our concerns, our worries, our anxieties, knowing that you've met all our needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And now we rejoice and celebrate your goodness in our lives. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. The offering bowl passed me. I'm not going to be passed. Hallelujah. Offering bowl passed me. Hallelujah. Yes, so it is nice to be home away from home here at Grace Life. I'm a member of this church. Hallelujah. Just like you are members of the citizens of heaven, all of you, if you are born again, only if you are born again. Today I just feel like talking to you about something that sounds common, and all of you are going to say, oh, I've heard this before. Don't be too sure. Don't be too sure. I just want to talk about faith. Ha! It's simple, isn't it? Everybody talks about faith. What about faith? Where is your faith? How many of you have faith here? And those who don't have, where did you put it? Where did you put your faith? My brother. Yes, in spectacles. No, right here behind. Yes, you. Yeah, where did you put your faith? Oh. So your faith, you don't have it. It's in the Lord. Good. Let's go straight away to Romans 10, verse 17. Hallelujah. Romans 10, verse 17. Please, offering bow. I'm still waiting for the offering bow. Oh, it's disappeared. I'm going to read. Rather, Pastor, do you mind reading so that I don't want anybody to miss, especially when you read? Maybe people will not hear what I say when I speak quickly. Romans 10, verse 17. Romans 10, verse 17, from the King James. King James, please.
Oh, there we go. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, the word, if you've got a good King James Bible, you find that the word cometh is in italics. Okay, we know all what that means. It means the word was not there. That word cometh was not there. It was put by the privilege of the translators. So you can actually take it out. So let's take it out. So then faith by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Are we? It doesn't indicate. But that cometh is not supposed to be there. Okay? So the presentation in the Greek there is not like faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, a repetition of hearing by the word of God. Faith by hearing the gospel. So the gospel brings to you faith when you hear the gospel. The word of God means the word of Christ, the good news, the message about Christ. And the thought there is not a continuous hearing. I used to think so. It's actually faith by what has been heard. Are we together? Faith by what has been heard. And what has been heard is about Christ. So if let's go on to verse 18, just to see, to present it to you that way. Verse 18 says, but I say, have they not heard? Can you see? They are talking in past tense. So he says, faith by faith by hearing what has been heard about Christ. So they say, but I say, have they not heard? So these people, have they not heard? It doesn't say, are they not hearing? Have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and the words into the ends of the world. So these people have heard, but they have not believed. So it's in the... So if you have heard the word of Christ and you have received Christ, you have faith. So you don't need to start looking for faith. It's too late. It's too late to look for faith. If you didn't have faith, you wouldn't be saved. Are we together? Because we have wasted so much time going to the mountains, going for fasting, pastor laying hands on our heads so that we get faith. Or we get more faith, or we get stronger faith. How can a strong man like you have weak faith? You can't have weak faith. You see, the talking about weak, strong faith comes from the Gospels. When I talk about the Gospels, I'm talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay? Do you know that the church was born, was birthed, and grew and matured before the Gospels were written? So all the time Paul was preaching, Peter, James, Philip, when they were preaching, they did not have a Bible that had Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If we go there in the epistles, in the New Testament, we do not find a quotation from the Gospels. They never quoted from the Gospels. Except maybe once, but I'm not sure whether it wasn't by revelation. When Paul talks about the communion in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, that's the only time he quotes the words of Jesus. Otherwise, there are no quotations in the Gospels that are quoted in the New Testament. Yet you find some quotations in the New Testament which are from Jesus, but they were taken from the Old Testament. Okay? The unfortunate thing is that the church is packed in the Gospels. So that's why we are weaker than the people in the epistles, the people in the book of Acts. They did not have the Gospels to read from. Now the church is reading. Almost every church this morning is preaching from the Gospels, a parable. And you miss God. And I hear some people, they just want to read the red letters in the Bible. If you read only the red letters, you will miss God. You will miss God. In Matthew 13, verse 34. Please read for us. Matthew 13, verse 34. King James, please.
And these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable he spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world.
So Jesus did not speak anything to them without using the parables. What is a parable? A parable is a fictitious story. It's a story that contains fiction and it hides the truth in the fiction. And most parables are taken literally. You need revelation on a parable because it hides the truth. It's not literal. And most parables are taken literally. That's why we have lost it. That's why we have people say the parable of the prodigal son. There is no parable of this prodigal son in the Bible. It's not there. If you read, it's about the father. It's not about the son. So if you focus on the son, you miss the father. Are we together? So Jesus was not explicit to them. He was hiding the truth in the parables. I read again, John 16, verse 25. John 16, verse 25. The book of John is the only book that does not have parables. Did you know? You won't find a parable in John. Yeah, you won't.
These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs.
Uh-huh.
But the time comes when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father.
Can you see the difference between Proverbs and plainly? A proverb, just like a parable, it also is like a riddle that hides the truth. And that's how you are speaking to them. But he says, I shall speak to you plainly. Plainly. When is that? Yet in all the Gospels, you are not speaking plainly. When would you speak to us plainly in the New Testament? How? By the Holy Spirit. And yet, because the Holy Spirit did not come in a bodily form, we have not related with him the same way we have related with the incarnate Jesus, the one where the body was walking. We find it easier to relate with the one that was walking in Jerusalem instead of the one. You see, the Holy Spirit is Jesus in another form. And the Holy Spirit speaks to you plainly in the epistles. Jesus in the incarnation, he speaks to you in proverbs and parables. Are we together? Are we together? Do I need to demonstrate that on some more? I think I need to. Let's go to... Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I just want to convince you there about the Gospels, because a lot of people, they've missed the truth because of just jumping to the Gospels without the revelation. So you start fishing up a lot of things like strong faith, weak faith. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? I have weak faith. I have all those things. You will not find in the New Testament. And remember, the New Testament only starts with the resurrection. Okay? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they are not New Testament. Okay? Just like you cannot inherit your father's money unless he dies. So when Jesus is still speaking, he has not died. When he's still teaching about the Lord's Prayer, he never said, it's my prayer. He was teaching the old Jews about praying in their covenant, not us. Yet the church all over, including big men with a gown called Pope, they pray Lord's Prayer. Years of useless prayer. Years of useless prayer. Wasted years. Why? Because they want the red letters. They love the parables. So faith by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So I am saying we now have faith. We all have faith right here. We all have faith. But then how is it that some people seem to have more faith by our observation than others? How is it that way? Who told you that more faith? All right. Let's trace the same verse, Romans 10, verse 17, from the NIV, so that I convince you it's in the past tense. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. The NIV is closer in its presentation than the King James. I'll take it also in the New English Translation. It says, consequently, faith comes from what is heard. So it's from what is heard. And you have already heard it. So if you heard it and you were born again, you have the faith. Today, right here. Let's go to Galatians 3, verse 23. But before, I'm reading from the King James, but before faith came, there's a time when faith had not come. Which time was that? The time he was teaching in the Gospels, faith had not come. When he was saying he must have strong faith, how come he got little faith? How come he got weak faith? All that time. And the faith that they had to have is the faith that this man standing in front of you is the Messiah promised in the scriptures. Hallelujah. By the way, you know, when we talk about scriptures, technically speaking, scripture is what is written between Genesis and Malachi. Okay? Only what is written between Genesis and Malachi is what qualifies, is what is called scripture. We can go in the New Testament, Paul is writing to Timothy, he's writing to other people. They refer to scriptures. By that time, the only Bible that they had was from Genesis to Malachi. So what is the Gospels? The Gospels is an eyewitness account of the humanity of Christ. What are the epistles from Acts going forth? Let's go to Romans 16, verse 24. Let's start from 24. Yes, Romans 16, 24.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began.
You see now? Now, the New Testament is a revelation. What is the mystery? The Old Testament. So the New Testament is a revelation of the Old Testament. What is the Old Testament talking about? You see, we want to put the New Testament and the Old Testament on one page. There was nothing called the Old Testament. It was always the Testament. What made it old is the coming of the new. They never knew, the Jews never knew anything called the Old Testament. They knew the Testament. What made it old is the coming of the new. And yet, we don't want really to divide them as such, because the guys who were preaching in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, in the epistles, they were preaching using what is written between Genesis to Malachi. That's what they were using to preach the New Testament. But now they were bringing us the revelation from those scriptures. Okay, let's go to Luke 24, verse 27. Luke 24, verse 27.
And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself.
Beginning at Moses, what is Moses? The first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, isn't it? That is Moses. So imagine, Jesus went to the book of Leviticus. He did not preach the law. What did he preach? He preached Jesus. Why do they go back there and preach the law when they open the book of Leviticus? What are the beginning at Moses and all the prophets? He expounded to them all the things that is written about him in all the scriptures. All the scriptures, not some. So Jesus went to the book of Malachi. He did not preach tithes. What did he preach from the book of Malachi? He preached Jesus. What is preaching Jesus? The gospel. He preached Jesus from Leviticus. He preached Jesus from Deuteronomy. He preached Jesus from Malachi, from Daniel. He did not preach those creatures with many eyes. From Daniel. So then, we should not be dividing the Bible. We should be able to preach Jesus from Leviticus. That's how they used to preach the Bible. From the Bible. Remember, the Bible is not the word of God. Ah, Sila. What did I say? The Bible is not the word of God. A lot of people are not preaching the word of God. They are preaching the Bible. The Bible contains the word of God. It says, in the beginning was the word. It doesn't say in the beginning was the Bible. Can you see? The Bible contains the word of God. And the word, there is only one way of preaching the word of God. If you preach the word of God without the cross, you have preached either Moses or the prophets. You have not preached the word of God. Are we together? Put for me 1 Peter 1 verse 25, please. 1 Peter 1 verse 25. I'm taking it slowly. I didn't know I would go this way. I didn't want to go that way, but it's coming out. It will come out.
But the word of the Lord endures forever.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you.
Do you have another version there, NLT? I can get it. Okay, give us NLT. When you find it, as you find it, I'm talking. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Do you know what he's quoting from? He's quoting from Isaiah 40, verse 8. If you got the reference Bible, it'll show you in the margin. He's quoting this from Isaiah 40, verse 8. Mm. So he says, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel, which through the cross is preached unto you. So before the gospel is there, it's not the word of God, it's the prophet.
Mm, yeah.
It's Moses, it's the Psalms. Are we together? Yet we've got a lot of churches today preaching Moses or prophets or Psalms, but not the word of God. They have not yet found the word of God in the Bible. That's why they are telling us about strong faith, weak faith, all those things. The Bible is a book of one character. The Bible is not a book of prophets. The Bible is a book about one person, and his name is Jesus Christ. It's not a book of stories. It's a book of one story. That's why Jesus preached Jesus from Moses, from the prophets. Put also Luke 24, verse 44. Let's include another section. No. Let's have this in LT first before I move.
Okay. But the word of the Lord remains forever, and that word is the good news that was preached to you.
So if there's no good news, there's no word of God. Here he's quoting from Isaiah. And from Isaiah, he's preaching the good news, which means he's preaching Jesus. Yet if we go to Isaiah, we don't find Jesus. I'm trying to say, don't worry too much. A lot of fears that you have, there are fears that come from the questions that you have about the Old Testament and from the Gospels. You have heard about the good news, you have heard about his love, but you say, but how come this? How come this? Why this? So it's interfering with your peace and your relationship with the Lord. If somebody open, because we tell people, what church are you going to? Oh, they are Bible based. They always read from the Bible. Are they reading the prophets, Moses, or the word of God? Unless there's the cross, unless there's the gospel, unless there's the good news, it's not the word of God. Although it's printed in the Bible. Let's read 24, Luke 24, 44. This is Jesus after the resurrection. Now when he's beginning to talk plainly, no parables. It's after the resurrection, no parable. Okay, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. When I was talking to you in parables, I was trying to say this. That all things must be fulfilled. We tell people we are not under the law. They say, Jesus said, this is what Jesus is quoting. He says, heaven and earth shall not pass away till all is what? They now it's fulfilled. That's past tense. Can you see? That scripture in Matthew 5, verse 16, 17, 18. That's what he's talking about. Okay? So he says, I speak unto you while I was yet with you that all things must be fulfilled. He's saying now these things are fulfilled by his resurrection. Can you see? Which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. So the Psalms are talking about Jesus. Moses is talking about Jesus. The prophets are talking about Jesus. So we want to put the Bible on one page. Let's go to John 1 verse 45. I was not supposed to go that way, but it's good. Is it Jalen? John 1 verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth. So what was Moses writing about? So why are you teaching us the Ten Commandments? They said they must not take the Ten Commandments from the school. They must not take the Lord. The Ten Commandments must be taken from the schools. The Lord's Prayer must be taken from the schools. They're not supposed to be there. Amen. They're not Christianity. They are Judaism. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't preach anything. Even if you are opening the book of Malachi, you don't talk to me about tithes. You talk to me about Jesus. When you're opening the book of Deuteronomy, you don't talk to me about cases. Talk to me about Jesus. And when you talk about Jesus, there is no case. Amen. There is no general. If any of you feel like they need deliverance, it's Satan who is playing holy with you. Is the devil playing holy with you? He's trying to move you from the truth. Hallelujah. Maybe I'll come back to that if I find time. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 8, verse 30. Just to demonstrate, I'm just trying to put the Bible on one page, then we can carry on. King James is fine.
That's right.
Yeah.
30.
Acts 8, verse 30. 30. Thank you.
And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah.
Wait, he was reading from what?
From the book
of Isaiah. Now, go on to verse 30. Okay, carry on a little bit.
And said, understandest thou what thou readest?
Do you understand what you are reading? You are reading Bible. Do you understand what you are reading? Carry on.
Verse 31.
Uh-huh.
And he said, how can I except some man should guide me?
How can you unless I come, your Philip, to guide you? I'm your Philip. I've come to guide you. You were reading and reading and reading and telling us about the law, telling about fasting, about tithing, because you needed a Philip. I'm here today. I am your Philip. So, some people, they say, I don't come to church. I just read my Bible. You are deceived. You are deceived. The Bible does not mature a Christian. The Bible says, he gave some prophets, some apostles, some for the maturing and the perfecting of the saints. The Bible does not perfect you. The Bible does not mature you. After you read the Bible, you must come to me. Then I make it clear to you. It's a deception. They say, I did my praise and worship at home. I prayed and I read five chapters. So I think I've done my church. You haven't done. You are deceived. The maturing here. We do it from here. Now, let's go to verse 35. Same place. Verse 35. He's reading the book of Isaiah. Let's find out what happens in verse 35.
Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture.
Which scripture?
The same scripture.
Which scripture?
The same scripture.
In Isaiah. What did he preach? Isaiah is about fasting, is about judgment, is about a lot of other things. Which scripture did he preach? Isaiah. What did he preach? Jesus. Yeah. From that same scripture. Why do we open the Old Testament and we preach other things? The only message to be preached in the church, there are no doctrines. There is one doctrine. Whenever the Bible says doctrines, it's talking about false teachings. In 1 Peter 1, verse 3, they say, I am charging you so that nobody preaches any other doctrine, because there is only one doctrine. Amen. Amen. So, he is preaching. He is preaching. Did I say? What are you putting there? I didn't say. I said Timothy. 1 Timothy 1, verse 3. You're trying to spoil my preaching. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, now we realize now the Bible is the same what? Is one book talking about one person. Okay? And yet this person, when he was walking in Jerusalem, he talked about weak faith, strong faith and stuff like that. But now we had come to Galatians 3:23, isn't it? We had come to Galatians 3:23. Where I said, but before faith came, which means there's a time before faith came. Before faith came, that's when we were doing the law. We were taking the scriptures the way they are, literally. Because it's like if you go to a movie, you get into a movie, halfway through the movie, you say, I'm going home. And you come to me, you try and explain to me about the movie. You will lie to me because you don't know how the story landed. Yeah. Or somebody jumps into the movie halfway through and he comes to tell me about the movie. He does not know how it started. So he will give me false information. So a lot of people are jumping off at the book of Malachi or in the Gospels. They don't know the rest of the story. So they are telling us wrong information. We must sit in the movie house until the whole movie comes together. Then we can tell about it. Even those things we were not understanding in the back, we can now tell, that was happening. That's why that was happening. This is what Jesus is doing. He's saying Moses was talking about me. The Psalms is talking about me. The prophets are talking about me. So preach me. So preach the gospel. So before faith came. And when faith came, did it go? Did yours go? There's no way you will find where it says in the Bible, now, after his faith went away. But he's telling us, before faith came, what happened? We were kept under the law, shut up. It's scripture, shut up. Shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Can you see afterwards what? Revealed. Because it's a mystery. The Old Testament is a what? A mystery. The New Testament is a what? A revelation. Okay? So, faith came. And when it came, it never went. Let's go again on verse 25, same place. 25, same place. But after that, faith is come. So, faith is come. I don't know this term, the students here, this is come. What do you call it? Present continuous. It means it's there. It's come today, it's come tomorrow, it's come next week, it's come next year. It has come. It means it is here. So faith came. We are no longer under a schoolmaster. So faith has come. So everybody received this faith that came. You do not have to go and look for your faith anywhere else. The problem is faith is being treated like a god. It has become an idol. Faith has become a god that you need when you need something to happen in your life. You must run to faith and get and talk to him and get him. You use faith as a spare wheel on your tire. You only think of it when you got a puncture in an emergency. But all along, you don't think there is faith. Faith is not a spare wheel. It's the engine. The vehicle is running on. I am not saying this so that you go and look for faith. I'm telling you so that you know you have it. Use it. You have faith because you are born again. You have faith. But we are going to see why we differ in certain things. Let's go to Jude 1 verse 3. Let's read from the King James. Then I'll read it also from the New Century Version. Jude 1 verse 3.
Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints.
Once and for all. It was delivered once. When it was delivered to you once, that was it. You have it. You don't need it to be delivered again. It has come. Okay, I'll read it from the New Century Version. It says, "Dear friends, I wanted very much to write you about the salvation we all share, but I felt the need to write you about something else. I want to encourage you to fight hard for the faith that was given the holy people of God once and for all time." So faith came for all time. Faith is not going away. So how come we find in our walk of faith we are having different results? How is it? You have dealt with God about this healing, about this job, about this what, about this wife, about this husband, and all those things. You have dealt with God. Now you're saying, God, why? You must never have the pride to ask God why this is not working. It's utmost pride. Because God is faithful. God is a giving God. And he gives without finding fault. God gives without finding fault. It says that in the book of James. Without criticizing. God gives without finding fault. Have you fasted? Did you say good morning to your husband before I can give you? He does not ask such questions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have faith. We all have faith. So what is the problem? What I'm telling you is so that you don't go home now and start fasting for faith. Going on a wild goose chase. You don't bang yourself, why is my faith not working? Your faith works. Because faith always works. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Do you know that there is no promise? You got no, a lot of people talk about promises of God. How many of you have, how many promises of God do you know? You know quite a number from, a number of, one? It's the promise of God to you. Children of Israel, no more. Promises of God to you. One. Just one. To you, yes. Healing? I'm trying to help you. I don't know. Christianity starts by arriving. Christianity is not a journey of wanting to go somewhere, of wanting to achieve something. In Christianity, we start at arrival. At arrival. And the rest of the walk is a consciousness, getting to a consciousness and an awareness of where we are, who we are, and what we have, where we are. Are we together? It's not a journey going. We are not marching to Zion. They sing those songs. I'm sure you know them. Marching to Zion. Your age used to sing those songs a lot. You're not marching anyway. We are from Zion. We hail from Zion. We hail from Zion. We are not much. We start at the finishing line. In Christianity, the moment you are born again, you finish the rest. You've arrived. Hallelujah. So now, in 2 Corinthians, yeah, there we are. For we walk by faith, not by sight. I was talking about promise. Do you know that in the New Testament there is no promise? Go to us for a New Living Translation, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. In the New Testament, there is no what? Promise. Like, do you think this is a promise? Is it a prophecy? What is that then? It's a picture of you. That's a word picture of you. That is a description of you. That is a mirror of you. It is not a commandment. A lot of people like commandments. It is not a commandment. It's not telling you to walk by faith. It's not a prophecy that you are going to walk by faith. It's not a promise that you are going to walk by faith. It's a word picture of you. That's who you are. That's exactly where you are there. It's describing you. It's not a commandment. Maybe you did not know, but I'm telling you. That's why I came. So that you walk by faith. Every day, even before I came yesterday, you were walking by faith. I just come to make you aware of it. There is no promise. When you start taking the things of the New Testament as promises, that's where you struggle in your prayers, whether it be about healing, prosperity, anything else, because you've taken a promise and you are looking forward that promise being fulfilled. And that's a lie. Read for us from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. I prefer the New Living on this one.
For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in...
Have been what?
Fulfilled.
So which promise are you waiting for? Which promise that is given you that is not fulfilled? God, I know you have... I thank you for your promises. I thank you that you are faithful to fulfill your promises. Where? If you missed this, then there's no promise that is going to be fulfilled. Even heaven is not a promise, because we are from heaven. We are already from heaven. Yeah? We are citizens of heaven. So it's not a promise. It's not a promise. So that scripture there, read it again. I interrupted you because I wanted you to see where it said fulfilled. Read it again.
For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes, and through Christ our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory.
Do you see what is here? You got two core owners of something. One has put his signature with the blood of Jesus. The other one must put his before the money must come out of the bank. And who is the other one? You. And yet you are going all the way fasting and doing all the, instead of just sticking your signature there and get the healing and get the money and get everything. One signature, you got an open check. You put his signature with the blood of Jesus. And he says, the rest, you do what you want. You just append your signature there and it's done. The yes is by us. The amen is by us. That's why we are not. He has said yes. He has said yes to your prosperity. He has said yes to your husband, wife. He has said yes to your healing. But you are battling to say amen. Can God heal me after what I did? Can this after the... You just put your amen there. Put your signature. And you see, we don't need to persuade God. Now we're going to be sharing communion. We don't need to persuade God. About, because God is persuaded, and he was persuaded so much, he put it in unchangeable, yes, with the blood of Jesus. Even if God didn't want to change his mind today, it's too late. He can't change his mind. So you don't need to persuade God. Most of your prayers are persuading God, are bringing God to attention. But God, can't you see what is happening? Can't you see my children? Can't you see this? Can't you see? The woman with the issue of blood said, if only I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. Was he trying to persuade Jesus? She was persuading herself. Even today, you must persuade yourself about what you want from the Lord. The Lord is persuaded. Don't try and persuade him. He is persuaded to a point he won't change his mind. So our prayers are about convincing ourselves, getting persuaded ourselves. But we are busy questioning about our faith. Do I have enough faith for this thing? Do I have enough faith? Do I have enough faith? Is my faith strong enough? No, I need to go to pastor because my faith is not strong enough. I am telling you, your faith and the pastor's faith is the same. The same. So how is it then we find ourselves in these places where one is praying for the others and the others are wanting to receive only? You must pray for your pastor. How many times do you do that? Oh, don't put me to shame. Do you pray for your pastor? We must not be ignorant of the way the devil works. The devil, I can tell you something. The devil, I have got freedom of speech. Why? Because I'm a child of God. The devil, if you, last time I talked to you about what is happening here in Cape Town, in Islam, isn't it? Maybe you've forgotten. You forget that stuff at your own risk. It's dangerous here. This tip here, this feather, this tip in Southern Africa is trouble. And you are busy coming to God. You want a car, you want a house, you want a husband. They are taking wife, husband, children, cars out. They are taking them away to save their Allah. Those guys who are bombing people, they are rich. They are educated. But the Christians, it's about your jet. It's about your... If Jamie talk about faith, it's about faith gathering stuff to yourself. How do you fight an enemy who's putting everything that you are coming to church for? They are taking it for their God. How do you fight such an enemy? Last time we had a threat here. I thought about it that I was preaching in Cape Town. We had a threat of a terror attack in South Africa. And you're on some kind of alert now. Why? Why? Because from here... You go home, you relax, you lounge, and you've come to church, your faith is working, the Lord is blessing you, and stuff is happening. Watch out. You must go and preach the gospel. And reach those guys. If America at the time they were playing with Bin Laden, if they'd reached Bin Laden with the gospel, we would still be having the two towers standing there. But you wait until the enemy is in your backyard. You lose opportunity. You waste time. The gospel is not for you to gather everything that the world has to offer. The gospel is for saving the world. Now the enemy is strategic. I was talking about praying for the pastor. The enemy wants to hit at the top. Hit the shepherd and the sheep can scatter. If you see the Muslim community, how they work, it's the same enemy, same devil. It's the devil. Do you know that? I'm not politically correct. I am biblically correct. The Muslims are a devil. Not the people. The people are loved of God. They are under its territory occupied. It's occupied territory that we must get back. The guys are lovely. But we must, it's territory that we must get back. How do we get it back? By the gospel. Before they said, they're going to be bombing you in this country. Anybody ever heard about what is called the green route? Oh, I'll talk to you another day about that one. So, when they come in a community, they go to the top. Before you know it, there's a mosque where you were trying to build a church, and the council told you there's no church, there's no space. You want a place to put a school for children. They tell you there's no space. The council tell you that. And the council, they tell you that they are Christian. Before you know it, there's an Islam kindergarten there. Because they go to the top. If you do not pray for the top, you are playing with fire. At your own risk, you must pray for the pastor. Amen. Faith is not about you just gathering stuff for you, because we want to see how much faith a man has by the aircraft, by the car they drive. If Jesus came for those things, do you know before Jesus came, they were very rich people. People with good cars, good everything, rich. Pharaoh was rich before Jesus. So if you are coming to church just to make money, you are lost. If you are coming to church just to prosper your business, you are lost. And you are confused. You don't know what you have believed. You don't know what you are into. And you don't know what is coming against you. The gospel must go out. The gospel must go out. Who is the richest woman in America? Who prayed for her? Who is the richest person in Africa, I think? It's a black man from Nigeria. He's called, the name will come. Who prayed for him? Who said hallelujah? Nobody. Oprah, who prayed for Oprah? Who anointed Oprah? The devil himself. So you can make money. Just that you've made money does not mean that you are godly. So coming to church in pursuit of money is not godly also. It's not godly. Oh, of course, God wants you to have good stuff. But priority is right. Priority is right. So a lot of you are looking for the will of God in your life. How many of you are still looking for your purpose in life? Your purpose in life. Do you know it? Okay, let's start by finding out what is the purpose of God, the will of God. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. King James, because I want the word will, that then we cannot argue about the will of God. Who will have all men? Will, it means it's the will of God, okay? Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? So you are all saved, hopefully. Now why are you here? To get the accurate, complete, correct, absolute knowledge of the truth. That is revelation. So the will of God is for all men to be saved, including Buddha. Including the man living next door to you, whose dogs are making noise for you, you can't sleep well. God wants that man saved. God wants that man who bumped your new car saved. So, if you want to find the will of your life, is it going to be different from this? If it's about making money, the money must go to that. Then you found your purpose. Because that is the will of God. Let's find out what is not the will of God. What is not the will of God? Let's go to 2 Peter 3, verse 9. What is not the will of God? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to us what? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God does not want anybody to perish. The person you meeting in the supermarket, anybody, black, white, yellow, whatever, God does not want them to perish. So why are you struggling to find your purpose in this simple revelation? The purpose you are looking for does not gel with this, you are lost. Some of you, nobody even knows where you work that you are a Christian. Nobody. They don't know. And you are there. And you think, if God has given you a good job, if that is his will, do you think he has gotten you a good job for money? Money is coming last. He's put you in that place strategically so that the people in that place can receive the Lord. And if you are going to be faithful there, I'm sure you go places. You saw Wellington 3 weeks ago? Wellington, do you know he's a boss man? That guy is an MD of a blue chip company. When he came to our church, I said to him, "Sir, you're an evangelist, because we know what God has for him. His purpose is not to make money. He makes good money. But that's not his purpose. So he makes good money so that people can be saved. Now he's at home. Now he's preaching. Together with his wife. You'd think that man is too busy to come and do that. But now he understands the will of God. And he has found his purpose. And his will in the will of God. That guy can pay a lot of you monthly salary. That guy. That showed many so, yeah. But you see how serious he is about the things of the gospel. Because now he understands. Now he understands. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we walk by faith. It's not a description, it's not a promise. It's not a prophecy. It's who you are. So how come then, if you are walking by faith, how come you have problems with this and that? Now we've made faith a God that you must run to when there's a problem. When you need something. When things are not going right. When you are sick. You must engage faith. But the Bible is saying every day we walk by faith. Let's see what the Bible says in Romans 4 verse 19. These are great examples of faith. Want to see what he's talking about here. King James. And being not weak in faith. Does it say being not having weak faith? Does it say not having weak faith? Being not weak. So he's got faith, okay. He's in faith, okay. But he's weak. In that faith, he's weak. There's nothing wrong with his faith. But there's something wrong with him. He's weak. So in this case, he was not weak. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of what? Of whom? Can you see what is happening now here? It's knowledge. It's knowledge. God is not willing. I says, he is willing that he wants everybody to be saved and come to the knowledge of what? Of the truth. How are we saved? By faith. Isn't it? We hear the message of grace and we get faith and we are saved. Now when we are saved, he doesn't say, now, oh, it's okay, you are going to heaven. He wants you to come to an accurate knowledge of what? Of truth. So the problem that makes us, that the problem is we differ in what we know about what we have faith in. Knowledge. What knowledge do you have? What knowledge are you running on? That's where the problem is. And yet nobody is trying to find knowledge. Everybody is trying to find faith. That's a deception. The devil has sold us a dummy. He takes away our eyes from what we need and puts our eyes on what we already have. Hallelujah. Let's continue to verse 20, the same place. Verse 20 and 21. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. It doesn't say he had strong faith. Can you see? The New Testament never talk about strong faith, weak faith. You might have one of the Bibles saying that, but they are mistranslation. The New Testament never talks about weak faith, strong faith, high faith, low faith. So it doesn't say he had strong faith. He was strong. In that faith, he was strong. I'll take it again. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded. There we are. Fully, are you persuaded, but by what you know? Because, you know, it's one thing to know. It's another thing to what? To be fully persuaded. And when Paul talks about, let's go to Romans 14, 14. Romans 14, 14. King James. Yes, go ahead.
I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus.
I know and I'm persuaded. When Paul talks about being persuaded, he does not say we. He says I. We are all in the faith. But when he talks about being persuaded, he says, I. He does not talk for you. He says, I know. He does not end there. And I am fully persuaded. Are you fully persuaded about the things that you know? That's why it seems like you do not have faith. Are you persuaded? The woman with the issue of blood, he says, if only I can. She was fully persuaded. It was not up to the Lord to release healing. It was up to you to be fully persuaded and go for it. Are you fully persuaded? What kind of knowledge are you running on? What kind of knowledge are you running on? Hallelujah. Let's go again on Romans 14, verse 1. I'm just trying to convince you that your faith is not weak. It does not need to be stronger. You just need to know more stuff. Yes, let's go.
Him that is weak in the faith.
He is weak in the faith. He does not have weak faith. His faith is okay, but he is weak. What makes you weak in the faith? The kind of knowledge that you have. An inferior kind of knowledge.
Yeah.
Maybe you've heard us say stuff. Maybe you've heard pastor say stuff. But are you fully persuaded? Or you are trying to persuade God? Are you fully persuaded or you are trying to persuade God? Let's go to Ephesians 1 verse 5. How many more minutes do I have? I'm just warming up now. Oh, we're going down. Okay. All right. Wonderful. It's fine. I'll end. Ephesians 1 verse 15. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. Can you see? He heard about their faith and he's got no complaints with it. He's got no complaints with their faith. He has heard about it. And love unto all the saints. Verse 16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. He's praying for them. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of, he's praying for them to have knowledge, not to have more faith. In the knowledge of God, not the knowledge of biology, not the knowledge of medicine, not the knowledge of commerce, not the knowledge of your economy. The knowledge of the Lord is another kind of knowledge that you must come to have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What knowledge is this? You know, we have knowledge of gravity. We do. We know that. We know if I hold this bottle and I let go, it will fall down. It's a knowledge. It's a perfect knowledge. And it will stay, it will always be so. Is it?
You believe in it. You know, you understand it. There's only one word in Greek. Faith is, believe is one. There's no two words. So,
yeah.
You understand something? You believe?
All right. The faith that you must have is in the knowledge of God. Okay?
Yes.
Good. Now you know this gravity.
Yes.
It falls down.
Right.
It's a perfect knowledge. It's an inferior knowledge. It's a fact. It will never change. But it's an inferior. If we take a 10-ton truck, we lift it. Or 30-ton truck, we lift it. It will fall to the ground, isn't it? Because of the knowledge that we have about gravity. But do you know there are 30-ton objects that are flying in the sky? Called aeroplane. Loaded with goods. Somebody said, no, I know this knowledge about gravity, but I've come to know of a superior knowledge, the knowledge of dynamics, aerodynamics, or the knowledge of lift. So he's saying, I want to go by a superior knowledge. Gravity says, you are not going anywhere, my brother. You are not going. He put his aircraft in forward gear. Okay? He is racing on the tarmac. The gravity is saying you are not going anywhere. But he's saying, okay, gravity, I know that. But today I'm not going by this knowledge of gravity. I'm going by another knowledge. You've got a doctor's report. That's another knowledge. But there's a superior knowledge. So if that guy is going to put his brakes, says, I've gone 100 meters, gravity is saying don't go. So I'll just put my brakes. Will he ever fly? He puts more gas. Because he is engaged in another knowledge. A higher knowledge. Of lift. And soon enough, he takes off. Not because gravity is cancelled. Gravity is still there. But he's just operating on a superior knowledge. The letters that you have from the doctor, what your bank is saying, those are facts. But there's truth. The knowledge of truth. We use the knowledge of truth to overcome the facts. The facts change. But truth does not change. So what do you need? You need knowledge. That's why we want you to come to church. We want to minister to you. To grow you up in this knowledge. You want to read the Bibles from home. You want to go, Michael, my there's that lady who does... biking, is she here today? She'll come tonight. I've missed her. She's missed me. Amen. All those things, they are good. But that's what devil just plays with, just to mix up your priorities and just to make sure he tries to thwart the will of God. Because the will of God is going to prevail in and through you. So go by the faith that you have. There's nothing wrong with that. But get to a knowledge and be fully persuaded about what you know. You see, when we are taking communion here, this is not a tablet. There's no medicine in here. No medicine. Isn't it? So when you take communion, don't think you are taking medicine. Don't shake. But oh. When we are taking communion, we are showing forth the proof. Not that we are going to be healed, but that we are healed. The evidence, this is the evidence that we are healed. This is the proof that we are healed. We are not saying, Father, as I take your communion, I believe I'm going to be healed. Too late. Let's function by another knowledge that is declared by this communion. When we take the communion, we are saying this is the proof. If somebody came, I know your wife's car is fully paid up. If where they bought it from, if they came to your house and say, we have come to repossess this car because it's not paid, what do you take out? The receipts. The receipts. And you show yourself, this is the receipt. So when the devil comes to you with sickness, say, ah, this is the proof. This is your receipt. This is your receipt for your healing. And we must take it in that understanding. I'm not saying there's no lump in your body. I'm not saying there's no sickness. It's there, but it's the gravity. But we want to go by another set of rules, a higher knowledge, a superior knowledge. And this is when you partake of the communion, we are saying, this is the proof, this is the evidence that I am already healed. This is the receipt. You can't get a receipt until it's purchased. So it's bought. This is the receipt. Satan, take your luggage and get away from here. The repo man, take Satan's stuff and go away. It's the proof. He says, take this in remembrance of you. Have you forgotten that he died? You see, sometimes the we have English in the Bible, but the English is not just English, it's biblical. He says, take this, that word remembrance is in understanding. Because nobody has forgotten. It's in understanding of what happened and what that is standing for. And this is the only reason that the Bible has told us why people die prematurely, why people are sick. This is the only reason. We don't discern. Persuade yourself about the discernment of what this meant and what this has brought you. Don't say my hypertension, my what. No, this is my receipt for my healing. Don't persuade. There is nothing that you are going to pray for that is going to come from heaven. A lot of you want to convince heaven. Heaven has already answered. Heaven has said yes. What are you saying? And be aggressive about what is yours. It's yours. Don't let the devil pull it out from you. It's yours. So you say, oh, okay. You can take my health. I think I'll get healed another day. Today. He comes back tomorrow knocking up with the same disease, I have proof. You're lying. I have proof. This is the evidence. Take it again. Convince yourself. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm lending because otherwise I'll go on until 1 o'clock. And I'll miss my flight. So please don't go looking for faith. You already have it. You have your faith. You have your healing. But you are just functioning in a lesser knowledge. You need to upgrade your knowledge. That knowledge of yours becomes what? what you call faith. The children of Israel, they were coming from Egypt. All the old folk, we had known slavery before. None of them got inside. Although they were seeing miracles, although they were seeing stuff, they were not persuaded. But there were little fellas like William. So at the Red Sea, they are there. They see Moses stretch his hand with the rod, and the sea opens. They say to Daddy, Daddy, what is that? It's Jehovah. They go on, the stone, there's no water. It brings water. The water is, they are seeing it. So their knowledge became their faith. That's how they managed to get, that's how they entered what? Canaan. Because they were not dominated by Egypt mentality. You have decided to you've got your own doctor. You've got your own doctor, a personal doctor. Maybe that same doctor, your mother died with that same doctor. In that same room. Your father went into that to that same doctor, they died with that same doctor. You have not changed them. You come here, I pray for you once. You say it's not working. You go away. You don't come again. You're not convinced. You are fully persuaded about the doctor, but not about the things of God. How come three members of your family have died with that same doctor? How come you have not fired him? You are still going, you have registered all your children with that same doctor. I'm not saying big doctors are bad. They are good. But God, upgrade your knowledge. Come to a superior knowledge and operate by superior knowledge. The only way you do that, excuse me, is by reading the Bible and coming here. We make you grow in the knowledge. You get persuaded. That persuasion is a personal persuasion. You come to a place, you say, no, this cannot be. Not on me. They are thinking of retrenching people and stuff like that. You see, don't say, I don't know what is going to happen. This is proof. You can't be retrenched unless it's going to mean better for you. Unless it's going to mean better for you. You have faith. Don't look for faith, guys. Don't look for faith. You have it. The Lord is persuaded that you have faith. And you are worrying him about increasing your faith. Because you have heard the Gospels. But all the people were in the New Testament. They did not have all that stuff that is in the Gospel. So their faith was not polluted by that. Their knowledge was not polluted by that. Is it bad what is in the Gospel? It's not bad. But unless you are they are revealed from the New Testament, you may not understand them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Can I say one more thing to you? Then I sit down. Let's be serious about the Gospel. How can two walk together unless they agree? God is not willing that any should perish. The will of God is that everybody, every man and woman get saved. And then come to the knowledge of what? The truth. Our evangelism is not complete until the sheep comes to the sheepfold. If you're saying, I've won two souls there, unless they are here, you have not won them. Unless they are here, they must come here to the sheepfold. That's where they are fed. That's where they are mature. That's where they grow. It's a person. You don't have to wait for pastor to tell you, let's go forward. You can do it. Me, a little bit of time with you. One day I had about 20 minutes with a Muslim and received the Lord. I've got a specialist training on that. Amen. Let's do that work. You see, because the enemy is at work. Let me show you how the enemy is at work. Let's go to... Hallelujah. Then I sit down after that. I miss you guys. I wish I could just talk with you for 5 hours. We must get more comfortable chairs so people don't start shifting. And we I want to go to Matthew 27, verse, what verse do I want? I think it's 28, sorry. It's Matthew 28. I'm lost. I'm talking about where they were given large sums of money when the guards were given large sums of money when they're coming from, they were guarding the tomb. When Jesus rose, they were given large sums of money. I'm not sure whether it's Matthew or Luke. Come again? 28 verse 12. Wonderful. Thank you. Good. Let's start from verse 10. Then said Jesus unto them, Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and they shall see me there. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city. You see, the guards, they've come to the city, to their bosses, and showed unto the chief priests all things that were done. Which all things? That Jesus had indeed was raised from the dead. Because they found the tomb empty. Then verse 12. And when they were assembled with the elders, and they had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews today. The enemy is pumping money to hide the gospel. What are you doing with your money? Can you see the game? It's a game of money there. The enemy is pumping money to hide the gospel. Unless you counter with your money to expose the gospel, people are going to... I was talking to my brother here. He's concerned about people are dying and everything. I told him, it's your problem. It's not God's problem. What are you doing with your money? Gucci? They did not say small money, large money. Let's get into this habit of giving large money for the gospel. If you are giving large money for the gospel here, and the pastor is not doing taking the gospel out, ask him, pastor, when are we going to win new souls? When are we going to? You must remind him about. I told my elders, when you find me relaxing and not reaching out, ask me. You have that right, and the Lord is with you. Let's put money into this thing, because the enemy even today is putting money. You see, all those people who are wasting, who are talking rubbish, all the money is going there. And your friends, when they invite you there, you put more money there than you put here. It's an inspiration of the devil to hide the gospel. There are very few places where the gospel is being preached. A lot of them, they are preaching the Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, but not the gospel. And those people are boxed up. The enemy knows that. To stuff resources here and put resources there. He's still doing that today. But let's wake up. Let's counter the enemy's actions by our actions, especially giving money. We know this year you'll be coming to Harare. All those things need money. If you cannot leave your job to come, there's no problem. Send those who can. Because when they come, I tell you a success story. In the last place we went to called Mushumbi, it's in the Zambezi Valley. There are people there. When you go there, I went there. They have one pot. At night, it's chamber. Do you know chamber? chamber. What do you call it here? If you're afraid to go out in the night, you're in the house and you want to relieve yourself, you do it in there, in the house. Then you can throw it in the morning when it's, you know that? There are people there, they have one pot. At night, they live into that thing. In the morning, they throw it away and they go to fetch water with that thing to drink. And when it's time to cook, they cook in that thing. I am telling you, if I had enough time, I would show you pictures here. And Jesus died for these people. They, you know, when they go to the villages, they say we're going to people. They don't consider themselves to be people. They're saying we're going to people. And Jesus wants those people reached. But you'd rather be at the beach. There's nothing wrong with going to the beach. Don't feel bad about it. But let's have these priorities. Let's work together with God. God is not going to preach the gospel. He is trusting us to preach the gospel, to reach out. Feel sorry for all these people who are rich and God, all they have is money, they don't have Jesus. If you ain't got Jesus, you ain't got nothing. Some of you think, I wish I was driving such a car. The guy is going to hell. Feel sorry for him. Feel sorry for him. Unless the gospel has impacted you, you don't care. You come here to be loved, oh, you are loved. There's a responsibility in the gospel. You are loved so you can take the message out there. Road rage. Diffuse it with the gospel. I got no problem with road rage. No matter how mean you are, you cannot get me to get involved in road rage. It's a good opportunity for me to win you for the gospel there. Hallelujah. Everybody here, those who are going to work, those who are going to school, I'm sure you're not the only one there. So you don't even need to take time to preach the gospel. Where you are working, God has put you in that good job to reach those people because God loves those people. In that school, God has strategically positioned each and every one of us to win people for the gospel, to get people born again. This life is far too short and time is far too spent to play church games. There's a serious job to be done. The Muslims need to be saved. The Buddhas, Hare Krishnas, they need to be saved. They have believed a lie. And when you have believed a lie, you live wrong. You bomb people. But still, God loves them. This is the thing about grace. All those guys who are bombing, God loves them. He's saying this is not the dispensation of fire. It's a dispensation of salvation. Get them. It's your job, you and me. If we don't do it, it's not going to get done. This is not a club where you want to come and feel nice and coffee and nice and nice and nice. Some of you are looking for wife, you're looking for husband. I like testimony. It was when Yanni is about to go there, that thing's heated up a little bit. When he was about to go to Albania, I think it was a catalyst. So God meets you where he sent you. As he's doing that which God has sent him, things happened. And now today he's married, he's got a wife. Some of you are still sleeping single. Let me pray for you. Just raise your holy hands. Just raise your holy hands. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You are far better than you think of yourself. And God sees you far better than you see yourself. He has not given you a hard life, a life of regret. He just wants you to wake up to a consciousness of His love. He has not surrendered you to the enemy. Just walk in this newness of knowledge. Take it for yourself. Grab it. Persuade yourself. This is it for you. Tell the devil from now on, it comes to an end. It goes no further than this. No further than now. In the name of Jesus. By the laying on of this hand, I silence every clatter, every lie that the devil has spoken into your heart. And I declare the peace of God, shalom, shalom, in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. I cancel every report of the enemy. Every report from the doctor that militates against the word of God. I cancel it now in the name of Jesus. I deploy a new report from heaven that says Jesus carried your sicknesses, your diseases, and all your infirmities. Today there is no infirmity on you. Receive it now. This is the new knowledge. You don't need faith. This is yours specifically. You are healed and you are free. I command the devil to take all his lying symptoms from your body. Some of you got children sick at home. Just when you get home, just tell them you are free in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Don't say it has gone on for a long time. What is a long time? Don't give that doctor more credit than God. God says you are free, and you are free indeed. He does not lie. We don't deny the facts, but you are healed now in the name of Jesus. Receive it. Let there be a new understanding and new knowledge by which you function from this day forth. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.